Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland and Heartland Baptist.
Right now we're going through the book of John together as a church, so enjoy the podcast as we dive deep into God's word together.
All right, good morning. If you have your Bibles or your device, a phone with you with your Bible on it, please turn to John chapter 16 with me this morning. I got a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to go for it. We're going to talk about our advocate, the Holy Spirit, is who we're going to focus on this morning. But in that, what Jesus is going to bring us in this passage, he's going to introduce us or continue to introduce us to the Holy Spirit, the advocate of truth. And we're going to be talking a bit about truth this morning, digging into some of these things and what Jesus has to say to us in this passage. God does neat things. And over the summer, Pastor Steve brought us through this topic of remaining or abiding in Jesus, this staying connected to him and growing in our dependence of Jesus. And we kind of worked through these different practices that we could put in place in our lives to help us develop practices of abiding in Jesus Christ. And I had the privilege 3 weeks ago of working through with us our witness, the practice of witness, and our proclaiming, our bearing witness to who Jesus is, bearing witness to the truth, bearing witness to the gospel message, and we talked about that. I did that without really knowing that God kind of had a part two. And this morning, Jesus is going to challenge us with this idea of what we testify to. Same word, very, very similar meaning to that witness, or bearing witness for what Jesus has done for us. And here we are challenged with bearing witness or testifying to the truth. We're going to look at this morning. I told this story, I think, before here at Heartland, but when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, we were living in Campbell River. We lived in this small little cul-de-sac. There was like 8 houses in the cul-de-sac. 4 of the houses had kids, boys my age. And so there was like a gang of us. And we'd ride our bikes around. We'd play hockey like every day and baseball. And we were just always doing things as just kind of as a little community, a little group. And my first remembrance that I have of ever kind of sharing my faith, of doing, engaging in evangelism, was I have this vivid memory of sitting in a circle, we're all sitting on our bikes, and I'm telling my friends that they're going to hell, basically. It was my evangelistic method. And I was saying to them, listen, I didn't say turn or burn, but that was kind of the message, right? Is listen, you got to believe in Jesus, because otherwise you go to hell. And if you want to go to heaven, you just, hey, I'll lead you into prayer. You can pray this prayer and then everything will be fine. And we can get on our bikes and keep going, right? That was my evangelistic method. We moved like a year later. I have no idea what happened with those guys. But that was my first attempt at evangelism. Don't know how effective it was, but there you go. But over the years, I've had a number of opportunities. I've shared my faith in a number of different places. I've been involved in street evangelism. I've knocked on doors. I've engaged in one-on-one conversation. I've talked to university students. I've been involved in camp ministries, youth group ministries, here at the church, preaching the truth. But you know what? There is fear that I have. Sharing my faith and sharing the gospel messages continues to be something that I struggle with, that I face with fear and anxiety and concerns. And you probably know some of the same things that I say, I don't really know what to say. I don't know what to do in this circumstance. Or maybe I'm worried, and this is probably the big one for me, of what if they make fun of me? What if I'm rejected? What if they walk away from me? what if maybe, and you know, really there isn't much fear of this here in Canada, but what if I face persecution? And there is a reality in our world in many places where that is the case. Am I willing to continue to testify, and am I willing to speak truth into a world who so desperately needs the truth of the gospel? I find that challenging. Because it's somewhat easy to speak the truth maybe in a friendly gathering like this of fellow believers. But it can be much more difficult when I'm presenting the truth to maybe someone who doesn't believe as I believe, or doesn't hold to the truth that I hold to. Jesus has something to say to us about that in our passage this morning. And so let's read that. Let me read this for you. I'm going to go back to verse 26 of 15 as kind of our lead-in, and then we're going to read through John 16 to verse 15. Again, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to follow along. We'll be up on the screen in the NIV. And so let me read this for us, all right? When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. Hold on to those statements. Those are important. The Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time will come when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Advocate, the Spirit of truth. Now, interesting thing about the Holy Spirit. Probably, definitely, that we receive the least amount of information. So probably the most unknown of the three parts of the Godhead, the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, probably the reality is we are given the least amount of information about the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's because of that, he's probably the most misunderstood, isn't he? We really don't have a great deal of information about what the Holy Spirit does. But here in this key passage, and we've been kind of working through this key conversation, starting in verse 13, right? Jesus washes the disciples' feet. They go into the Last Supper. Judas then leaves to go to betray Jesus. Jesus launches into this incredible section of teaching, of just bearing his heart to his disciples before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, before Jesus is arrested and goes to trial, and on the next day he is crucified, right? There are some important things in here. And within this passage, this greater passage of 13 to 17, or the end of 17, Jesus gives us probably the greatest amount of detail about the Holy Spirit that we have in Scripture. And in this passage, Jesus regularly refers to the Holy Spirit as our advocate, or the advocate. Now, that Greek word, the advocate, that we translate advocate, has a number of kind of different meanings. Right? Chapter 14, Jesus is telling the disciples, listen, I'm going to send you the advocate, and he's going to be a comfort for you. He is going to be in my continued presence with you because I'm leaving you. And so he says to you that the Holy Spirit, this advocate, is going to come to be with you. God's continued presence with you. Verse 15, Jesus talks about this Holy Spirit who will be there to bear fruit in them, to be at work in their lives that they might bear fruit. As they remain in Jesus and as the Holy Spirit works in them, he produces this Christ-like character in them, this work of transformation in us that the Holy Spirit does that we might be more like Christ in action, in word, and in deed. Then we get to chapter 16. And here the advocate is slightly different. We move from kind of this inner working of what the Holy Spirit does in those who believe and in those who belong to him, to now this, we get this sense of more of a legal sense. We get this advocate who is going to be at kind of an outer working that he does in the world. That the Holy Spirit is at work presenting and standing for truth in the world around us. And we are then given the invitation, in a way, to join him in standing and in speaking for the truth. We want to look at what this is and what the advocate is doing and what we are called to this morning. Because there's kind of three things that I want to talk about. I was looking to kind of follow that theme of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Didn't really work out. But I want to talk to you about the good. There's good news here. That we have been given an advocate, and that this advocate is actively engaged in our world, presenting the truth. That is good news for us. You are not alone. This is not a task that is just given to us as individuals to go out and stand and speak for truth. The Holy Spirit is at work within in our world. Not just he actively engaged in the world and through the Word of God and in other ways that he presents the truth, but that he is also enabling, equipping, empowering us as he works in us to then speak the truth and stand for the truth. Verse 12 and 13 of the passage that we read says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, verse 13, he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And so there is good news within this that Jesus has left and gives us this advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is in essence, kind of acting as this advocate for truth, right? We kind of know that term advocate even in our legal circles, right? We got this picture of a lawyer presenting the facts of his case. But not only we're going to find scripture saying, Jesus says in this passage, not only does the Holy Spirit present truth, but in fact, he provides proof of the truth. And then he also, in doing this, presents the outcome, the warnings, the judgment of if you don't then turn and follow the truth that he is presenting. This is the type of advocate that the Holy Spirit is in our world. And really, it is the type of advocacy that we are called to as we are called to stand and speak for the truth. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a challenge. But there is good news. We do not do it alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit engages in this as well and is the key focus of proclaiming the truth of the gospel and of Jesus. Now, there's a bad side. I don't know if it's so much bad as more a hard side. There's going to be persecution. The reality is Jesus says, if you are going to stand for the truth, you will face persecution. It's not an if. It's a you will. And Jesus says to his disciples, listen, you're going to get kicked out of the synagogues. You're going to face death. If you are going to stand for truth in a world that does not hold to the truth, you will face persecution for it. It may cost friendships. It may cost all sorts of things to you. The question is, are you willing to stand for the truth? And so the difficult part of this call that we receive is that we will face persecution. It is not an easy calling to stand for the truth, and yet that's what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. But the real aspect of this, the difficult part of this that I want to reflect on, is the reality of our human nature. The difficult side of this that I think, and we see it within the disciples, right? Take a look again at think back to what the disciples are going through at this point in time. What is Jesus telling them? Right? I'm leaving you. I'm going away. I'm not going to be with you any longer. In fact, Jesus is telling them, I'm going to die and then go to the Father. Now, try and imagine some of the emotion and the feelings and the thoughts and the anger and the questions that all of the disciples are probably going through, right? Who was Jesus to them at this point? Who was Jesus to them at this point? What truth had they kind of formulated in their minds of who Jesus was and what he was there to do? Did he see them? Did they see him as Savior who had come to deal with the sins of the world and to provide victory over sin and death? Or were they still looking for a Savior who would overthrow the Romans and lead the people of Israel back into greatness and domination and power and authority to make the people of Israel great again? What truth had the disciples formulated in their minds of who Jesus was? I think Jesus is saying to them, listen, you don't understand yet what I am about to do. You don't get the gospel and what is going on, and you don't truly understand who I am. You know, it brings me back to Exodus chapter 20, where God says to us, you know, you're right, I have no other gods before me. You are not to form any other images. And so often I think we've kind of come up with this idea of statues and images and wood and carvings and all these things, and no, you can't do that. But I wonder if really God is speaking also to those realities of those false gods and those false beliefs about God that you and I formulate in our minds and hold to as truth. Who Jesus is. Who God is. Is God a holy, righteous God in your definition? A God who is loving and patient, who is righteous and holy? Do we believe in the God that is presented to us in the pages of Scripture? Or do we create a God to meet our own desires and our own purposes and what we want God to be for us? I feel like the disciples, to a degree, had formulated a Jesus and a truth about who Jesus was to meet their desires, their purposes. And I think there is a reality that for many of us, we do the same, and people in our world do the same. And when we are challenged with a different truth or a truth that we do not like, or when we're challenged with the truth of the standards of God and what God declares as true and right, we say, wait a minute, no, I don't believe that. That's not my truth. I don't hold to that God. I believe in a different God than you. And yet we have here that the Spirit of truth is going to present to the world the truth of who God is. I think that's a danger for us. And it is a danger for us as we speak truth into the world, is that we're going to come across often people who claim to believe in God, who claim to believe even and believe in Jesus. But are we formulating our own truth, a deceived, deceptive truth, and making an image of God that is not truly who God has presented to us to be? I think we have to be careful with that. And I think we see the disciples doing that, and Jesus saying to them, listen, you're not grasping why I'm here. If you truly knew why I had come, you would be rejoicing in this moment. But instead, you are upset, you're angry, you're grieving, you're at a loss. But it is for your good, Jesus says, that I go, so that I might send you the advocate. Because there is a truth. Maybe that's a difficult concept in our world today, is lots of people do not believe in an absolute truth. And yet what is presented to us in God's word and in God's testimony of who he is and of who Jesus is and the gospel, what we are presented with is a truth, and a God who defines and describes and establishes what truth is. And for us to come to the truth is to come and understand who God is. Because I believe that that is where truth is established. It's not just in what God says. I'm sure many of us as parents know the experience of saying, hey, go do this, and our kids saying, why? Well, because I said so. I don't think God does that. God establishes his direction and his guidance, his truth for us, and it comes out of his character. It comes out of who he is, out of his holiness, out of his love, comes the realities of how he wants us to live, because he wants us to know life. He wants us to live in that life that he has created for us, that truth that he has established for us to live in, by which we might know life and goodness and the goodness of God. The reality is, for many of us, we desire to choose or to formulate a different truth, to create a God that fits my desires, my needs, who I want God to be, because this is how I want my life to be, or the lifestyle that I choose to live, and so I will make a God of my own making. But what Jesus tells us is the Holy Spirit has come, the advocate, to speak for the truth, to present God and who he is and the character that is God, and to point us and the world to that God, that loving but yet holy and righteous God. And this is the testimony that we are called to. This is what we are called to, the truth that we are called to testify to bring light into the world, to bring life and define life ourselves in the truth, the absolute truth of what God brings to us. And what is that truth? Spoken already about the truth being grounded and found in the very character and nature of God. Well, the reality, I think, of what we see Jesus in just such a succinct and amazing way, such a direct way, Jesus ultimately, I think, presents to us the greatest revealer of what truth is found in the gospel message. It is in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ where Jesus reveals to us the very character and nature and the truth of God. But we have to understand and recognize all of the gospel message. We have to be careful that we don't remove parts of the gospel message to ease things for us. That if we remove the realities of sin, we lessen our need and the impact and the glory of the cross. If we remove the challenge and the seriousness of what sin is, we lessen the beauty of the victory that is ours through the resurrection. And every aspect in this succinct definition that Jesus gives us of the gospel message, as he presents the truth to us, is so important. And as we think of our testimony for Jesus, we have to recognize that we are presenting these truths. And that every part of this, including the difficult aspect of sin and speaking about sin in our world, has to be there so that the cross of Jesus Christ is truly what it is and truly reveals the fullness of who God is. Because for us to understand the reality of God and the truth of us as humanity and the condition of our human hearts, we have to recognize the reality of sin. And so Jesus, through the advocate, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, will come in verse 8 and 9. He says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. That the Holy Spirit will come and, in presenting the truth, reveal to us these false truths that we have established, in order to make us righteous in our own eyes, in order to find ourselves self-righteous, in order to try and formulate a way for us to be right with our God, we make a God that fits what we want. But the advocate has come to prove to us and to the world that those ways are false, that there is only one truth, that there is only one right way to relationship with God. And that is with dealing with our sin properly. He will prove the world to be wrong about sin because people do not believe in me. Listen, sin is a reality. Sin is that leaving and removing ourselves from the path and the truth of what God establishes and desires for us. It is that rebellion of our hearts to form our own ways and to live as we desire, to seek after and pursue the things that we want. And as we choose that path, we leave the path of life that God has created for us. And in doing so, we enter into this place of sin, rebellion and rejection against God. And yes, that comes out in our behaviors, and it comes out in our actions and in our attitudes, and it affects us in every aspect of our lives. But sin is a reality of who we are, and it is a reality of our world. And that because of that sin, we have been separated from a holy God. The truth about God that is revealed in our sinfulness is that God cannot be in a place of sinfulness. God can have nothing to do with sin. And so we have this major issue as humanity and the state of who we are as sinners is we're separated from our Creator. And the Holy Spirit speaks to this truth of this is the truth of who we are, and this is the truth of who God is. And there is a major, major problem. And we cannot sort this problem out by goodness, by going to church, by religion. We in our own self-righteousness cannot solve this problem. We needed a Savior. And the beauty of the gospel message and Jesus in just such a poignant way brings us to us is, you know what? Yes, we can speak to the truths of individual sins or whatever it might be, and I think we do need to stand for the truth. But Jesus says the reality of our sinfulness is that we do not believe in Him. We do not believe in Him. Or that people do not believe in Him. And again, it comes back to, yes, we may claim to believe in a Jesus, but is it a Jesus of our own making? And like the disciples, we've made a Savior, we've made a Messiah who we believe in, but it's not the Messiah of the gospel. It's not the Savior that is presented to us in God's Word. That Savior who presents to us the grace and the love and the mercy of a loving Father, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son to reveal to us the truth of who God is. And the realities of our sin is that we choose not to believe in Jesus, but we would rather form a Jesus of our own making, that we would rather rely and depend on ourselves. We would rather continue to look to our own desires and our own purposes and to pursue the things of this world. We choose to not believe in who Jesus really is and the truth of who He is. And so in that, we remain and continue in our sin because Jesus came to deal with that sin in us. He came to be the solution, our righteousness. And here is the beauty of the gospel message that reveals so much about the character and the truth of God. And in our hopeless state, when we were dead in our sin and transgressions, Paul says in Ephesians 2, Jesus Christ stepped into our world. God came to us. A loving, gracious Father stepped into our world, and He died in our place. The death that we deserve to die. But not only that, now Jesus says, and this brings it out, what is the proof of this reality that this has happened? Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. What is the significance of that? That Jesus now is seated at the right hand. That idea of being seated is this picture in Scripture of it is done. It is complete. I have finished my task. My job is done. I have successfully made a way for people to be right with God again. And it is through Jesus and His victory for us on the cross theological term is imputes his righteousness. Jesus takes his righteousness that was his perfection, his holiness, and he puts it on me, a sinner. And he places it on you, a sinner. And God looks at us, and instead of seeing a sinner separated from him because of our sinfulness, he sees someone who is righteous. Not because of what we have done, but because of Jesus. This is the beautiful picture of the gospel for us. The beautiful picture of the very heart of God that speaks the truth of who he is. But we have to come to that place of recognizing and acknowledging our need of that Jesus. That is what I need. Because there is no other way that I can know life. No other way that I can be free. That is the Jesus I need. Because in him I am made righteous. In him I have victory. In him I have life. And that victory is complete. And that righteousness is sure. And it is offered to us freely and willingly. This is the grace of the Father to you. That you can be declared righteous through what Jesus has done for you. But it is only through Jesus. It is only through Jesus. Because only he was the perfect sacrifice for us. Do you believe in this Jesus? Is this the Jesus that you know? Because this passage comes with a warning. And again, the warning reveals truth about God. God remains a holy and just God. And the warning is that there is a time of judgment coming. And Jesus says, the proof of this is that the prince of this world, that if Jesus can already have victory over Satan and victory over death through what he accomplished on the cross and through the resurrection, if Satan himself already stands judged and condemned because of what he has done and the choices that he has made, surely God has the power and authority to judge you and me. And the warning is this, that one day each of us will stand before that same holy God and give account for who we are and what we have done. That one day each of us will stand and give account. As I end, I got to ask the question, who is God to you this morning? What God do you believe in? Who is Jesus to you? What Jesus do you believe in? Do you believe in the God and the Jesus that is presented to us in the very message of the gospel, the cross, the resurrection, and all of that gospel message speaks to us? Is that the Jesus you believe in and know? Or this morning, are we here with a formulation of a Jesus that just simply allows me to live my life how I choose to live? Do I instead choose to believe in a God that is merely kind and accepting of the choices and the lifestyles that I want to live? Or do I believe in a God who is truth? A God who is holy? A God who loves us and wants us to know the life that is best for us? And it is he who determines that. It is he who defines that. And in his character and in his nature, we know what truth is. And he calls us to live within that calling that we have. The question comes to us this morning, what God do we believe in? Because there is an advocate, the Holy Spirit, and he is at work in our world, bringing people to God, revealing the truth of who God is. The question is this morning is, are we listening? Are we listening? Or do we instead choose to remain in the truth of our own making? Because the task that we have given, we come back to verse 27, and I'll end with this. Jesus says, and you also must testify. We also must testify. Our calling as believers, if we truly believe, is that this is the truth that we are meant to present to the world. This is who God is. This is the gospel. Come and get to know such an incredible God who has done so much and loves us so much and has given so much. Come and know that God, because in him you'll find life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father God, this is not a, it's not an easy message to give. God, within me, I fear people rejecting what I've just said. I do. And yet, God, I'm committed. I have committed myself to stand for the truth. I claim to be a follower of Jesus. And in doing so, I have submitted myself to the truth that you have established, God, that flows from your very nature and character. This is what I've committed myself to. This is what I have taken on when I took on the name of Jesus and of Christian, that I too will follow the truth and I will stand for the truth and I will present the truth to a dark and dying world who does not know truth. Because God, in truth there is life. And in truth there is joy. And that truth may come in conflict with my personal desires. It may come in conflict with how I desire to live my life. But who am I submitting to? Who is Lord of my life? Is it me? Or Jesus, is it you? Because I have seen your goodness. I have come to know the truth of the gospel message and your death for me. And in it I have come to know an incredible, incredible God. And there is nothing greater. There is no greater pursuit. There is no greater life than living in the life that God has prepared and has for me. So God, may we here at Heartland Baptist be a people who are committed to standing for the truth. Regardless of the difficulties, regardless of my come, that we do it as Jesus did. In compassion, in grace, in love, desiring the better for the people around us, that they too might have life. We do not stand in judgment or condemnation, but we stand presenting truth in life. God, may that be the people we are here at Heartland. We ask this in your name. Amen.